Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
I'm so excited to be offering you this deep dive series supported by Summit Automation. We'll be going on a deep dive talking big doors, many words used to describe this hot trend like moving walls, scenic doors, and alike. We'll be interviewing three owners of window dealerships across the U.S., getting their lessons learned and tips around the indoor-outdoor living movement. This deep dive series will have guest co-host PJ Grootsmacher joining me in Studio Art of Construction, the owner of Summit Automation. I'm sitting outside today, and we're here outside of the Glass Build Conference, and we're going to go in and have a fireside chat with Ben Collins. He's the leader of Morrison Millwork. We're going to have so much fun on this deep dive series, talking with window owners that live it the day in, day out of the indoor-outdoor living movement. So let's go in and get to know Ben and his company, Morrison Millwork, and we're going to talk about integration and big doors. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Probably IPA. Having a good one right now.
Well, we just have to stop and do
cheers.
A cheers.
Cheers.
Because on this one, you have a little bit of... little background noise. Because it's happy hour here in Hotlanta, where we just got off the plane. And we're going to go have dinner tonight and have a bunch of fun. Maybe even go over to the Falcons game. Who knows what fun we're going to have. But first, we got to work on our business a little bit before we go have some fun. So, Ben, your favorite beverage?
Probably beer.
I know
beer.
We're right having a beer together. Definitely. Any certain one?
Love IPAs. Charlotte has got a ton of good beer community now, and so we got a lot of good beers around.
Awesome. So you just drove up today
just
for the conference
down,
in Atlanta?
Drove down.
Okay.
Charlotte. Yeah, that's right.
We live in Denver, so we're always up the mountains, right?
That's right. Yeah, drove down this morning.
Awesome. So what's your favorite place you've traveled?
Probably lately, Nantucket. We just got back probably a month ago with my wife and our three kids, and we have a great time. Love the place. So,
awesome.
A lot of beaches, a lot of things to do.
What's one story from your recent trip in Nantucket?
Kind of a horror story a little bit, probably. We took our car up for my Suburban, and I got in a path in the sort of off-roading. And the kind of surrounding bushes caved in sort of over the car. And so I have a ton of scratches all over the Suburban right now. So it was not a very good move.
Live and learn, huh?
Live and learn, that's right.
There we go. So Ben, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're constantly trying to break down that we call the art of construction?
Probably fishing. I love to fish. Don't get to do it as much as I would like to, but I love to fish. My oldest son is really getting into it too, so we have a good time fishing.
Awesome. So a certain type of fishing?
I mean, I'm not really partial to anything. I probably like saltwater fishing better than anything, but we'll do just about whatever.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, we got to know a little bit about Ben, and across the table, I'm excited to have my guest co-host, PJ, is going to go on this journey. Like, we just finished a whole series of podcasts around Digital Built Week, and we're here today that tomorrow we're going to be at the Window Dealer Days in Atlanta. So, PJ, can you just let the listening audience know you just recently acquired Summit Automation, and you stepped in and said, yeah, I want to join the ride and learn from these experts when it comes to big doors. What's your story of how you acquired Summit Automation and what you were intrigued about coming here to join us and listen in?
Sure. First of all, Devin, thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure meeting you for the first time, and this is going to be awesome. I look forward to working with you for years to come. The biggest thing that brought me to Summit Automation was the technology and the people. So the team here at Summit is really dedicated to the business. They always customer-centric. The products are very well designed, and they've been updated over the course of the last 5 years. And to the point that we're now at a current configuration that is really good, really stable, and the customers love it. When it's installed, it's kind of like one of those things that you just want to press the button and you forget about it. But when I was introduced to Summit about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, the owner, then owners, asked if I'd be willing to take control of the business, and I stepped up and said, yes, I'll do it. The reason for it is that I see a great market opportunity for us to develop a solution around our customers' needs. So staying focused with what the customer is asking for, which is hence why I'm here today, is to try to get a perspective from all of the guests that Devin, that you've got on this, on these three podcasts. So
awesome. So I'm so honored to be leading the charge here when it comes to someone who is sponsoring this series of podcasts. Thank you, PJ and Summit, for doing that for us. But this show is all about solving the problems of the indoor-outdoor movement. And Ben and I have got to know each other where I run a group of window dealers around the country that we call the Window Dealer Owner Council. And we meet up monthly virtually or a couple times a year like this conference. And so, Ben, tell us your story, what led us to being the leader here of Morrison Millwork. Go back and tell us how Morrison Millwork came to fruition and you at the helm of Morrison Millwork.
Yeah, so really cool family story. I actually was fortunate enough to marry into it. My wife's family has been in the building supply business since 1922 in Concord, North Carolina. And her great-grandfather started it, her grandfather worked there, her dad and uncle worked there, and so it's just kind of fourth generation now. They've had a number of different facets of that business, but sort of during the recession, we restarted a company called Morrison Millwork that my father-in-law had started in the 80s. And we decided to kind of focus specifically at that time on windows and doors. Kind of a crazy time to restart a business during the recession, but we'd had another engineered wood business and we were kind of phasing out of that and kind of started up this window and door company from there. And so that's what we've done for ever since the recession. We've kind of grown it gradually since then. My wife and I work together. My wife pays all our bills and handles all our receivables and all that. And we've got a great team of people that sales guys and inside support guys that do a fantastic job, focused specifically on windows and doors.
Awesome. So you married into the family business that now you're running.
That's right.
The family business.
That's right.
And that's cool. We're going to be going on a deep dive series meeting with other window owners. And Chris Guido is a similar story about his parents. And we've really got to know it. I'm really passionate about sharing these stories because we've had a few happy hours together, but we've really, over the years of us meeting up monthly, a lot of things become the same stuff that rise to the top. And so it starts with, we all sell a different product mix. So next I'm gonna ask you what manufacturers you represent, but we're gonna talk through the different unique features of integrated or big doors. And then we wanna talk through some of the challenges of the moving walls or the things we live of executing this glass house that is the hot movement. But how do you go in and out of those space and live that lifestyle? So what manufacturers does Morrison Millwork represent when it comes to scenic doors?
Yeah, so really just about everybody we represent has capability to do these doors. We sell a product called Lowen out of Central Canada. We sell Weather Shield out of Medford, Wisconsin. We sell Western Window Systems out of Phoenix, Arizona. And we sell Arcadia Custom, which is a steel and aluminum company out of Tucson.
So that's a lot for you. I'm assuming they're not all exactly the same, right?
Yeah, right, that's right.
So you have to learn the nuances of each one of those big doors, and then your job is to be the trust advisor to understand what is the right manufacturer for the job, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. So talk us through, what we want to now go down a journey of talk through, what are some of the most unique features that you've seen integrated in the big door offerings from those manufacturers?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, one obviously that PJ is familiar with is automation. We see corner units where kind of two doors might meet in a corner to where they're opened up and you have a fully exposed opening out of a corner of a house. I haven't done one of these, but we've seen serpentine style sliding doors. There are tons of different shade and screen options that can incorporate into the track systems of these doors. And then we see obviously pocketing and non-pocketing product and folding and sliding products. There's tons of different ways to open walls now in construction.
Awesome. And obviously automation is at the forefront here with Summit, but literally automation is a big challenge or the potential solution to a lot of these features that in our world, a lot of times maybe they become challenges, right? So what is the biggest challenge with moving walls of glass?
There's a lot of challenges, Devin. I mean, the kind of a quick and easy one is that they're heavy. They're big. A lot of times the panels are 4 or 5 feet wide, at least by 8 to 10 feet tall. So there's a lot of weight in delivering them and installing them. And then from a homeowner's perspective in operating them. So that's kind of the first biggest challenge is how big are these panels and how are you going to move them around? Another huge challenge that we have comes kind of before in the process of these products. Like pre-construction is a big challenge. So many of the projects we see are kind of drawn and done by designers, home designers, instead of architects, though we do a ton with architects as well. But we see a lot of homeowners that want the product, but it's not actually been incorporated into the plans for their house. So it presents a huge problem of, you know, I've got this opening and I want to use this door that'll open it all the way up, but the detailing for it isn't there.
So you need details for this?
Oh, man, yeah. Of course you do. Of course you do.
And so we had a wonderful pre-interview kind of talking through this about how can you detail out all this stuff where PJ, you're sitting back, it's pretty obvious. These doors are heavy. Yeah, a huge, the bigger the door, the more it's going to weight. It'd be obvious to put automation on it, right? If you physically can't move it or it's really hard to move, you would automate it. Why would you not? Why don't they just get easily automated then, Ben?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably a couple good reasons. I mean, first and foremost, I think a lot of people don't know that that's an option. And so that's something that we've spent a lot of time kind of talking through when that's a good option and when that makes sense. And then there's different kind of door products. I mean, there's folding doors, which, you know, can you automate those? There's lift and slide doors, which are different from, you know, just your kind of standard multi-slide door. And how do you automate those when they function differently? There's the challenge of, you know, do you have room in the design of the house to accommodate the motor and all of the other things that are involved with automation. But then there's the details too of just how the system incorporates. You know, the jams are bigger and the wall itself has to be built bigger. And, you know, sometimes they sit down in the subfloor. There are tons of things to think about that really ought to be brought up, you know, early on in construction.
So PJ, as we're sitting here, it's obvious, it seems so simple, but in the real world, it gets pretty complicated to where you have to take the time to come to a conference like Window Dealer Days, where we can all put our heads together and say, how do we crack this code of the glass house and understand, or we talked about on our pre-call of working right to left instead of working left to right, and really understanding the beginning with the end in mind is so crucial on these huge openings. PJ, when you sit here us talking about this, you're probably sitting back saying, it's all about simplicity, right? As you getting on, as the ownership, how do we make something so simple that it really is not easy to hit the easy button in a complex, custom, one-of-a-kind design?
So I look at it this way. Our automation system is really door agnostic. So what we've tried to do is come up with a system that can be incorporated onto any door that comes out. And it really is simple. I'm not a rocket scientist, even though my background, I've been spending a lot of time in aerospace over a lot of years. I came into this business, and the very first thing that came out to me is that we have a simple product. It's already designed to be simple, but it's not on the tip of the tongue when people are thinking about multi-slide doors. So the biggest issue that I've seen has been the fact that there needs to be a little bit more education with the architects and with the designers and the builders up front. For example, a standard rule of thumb is 3 panels or more that are moving, automatically they should design for automation. at the very beginning, whether the homeowner signs off on automation or not, the architect should actually design the house so that it can incorporate automation. So I've been doing a whole series of product knowledge demonstrations with architects from coast to coast, and I'm sitting with them and I'm walking them through the simplicity of designing for automation. They had no idea. And most people think about automation, they're like, ooh, you know, I'm adding electronics to the doors. Every home today that has a garage already has an automated door. Now, our motors are a little more sophisticated. They offer a lot more options and such, but it's still simplistically stated. You install a motor, you connect a belt to the doors, and the doors operate at a push of a button. So in a way, this product knowledge demonstrations that I've been doing from coast to coast has really been centered around trying to get the people to, all of the architects to understand, listen, just design, increase the header width, stick the header out past the door jams so that we've got a place that we can put the return pulley and the motor. You do that, we've simplified the implementation of automation immensely. Now, in many, many designs, they have glass and glass on each side of the door. Well, then we have motors that can go above the door, either in a 90-degree position, or it can go in an inverted position. We've got ways to extend if you have a transom above the door. Well, we have extenders that allow you to put the motor even higher up into the attic, up into the ceiling. So there's a lot of different applications, but again, people, you know, they're afraid of it because they don't know about it. So my job has been for the last 3 months is to go out and get the word out to various potential customers and make sure that the architects are designing for it. I will tell you, it is an elegant solution. When you automate a door and you press that button, you've turned a $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 door into kind of like a work of art, and you're bringing that door to life. And it's an amazing event to see the very first time when a homeowner presses the button and the door works. They're just like, they're sold. They're instantaneously sold. And it's not that expensive as well when you're thinking about these kind of doors. The worst thing that could happen is you have these three panel doors and a door turns into a window because they get too heavy. People might be able to move the door today, but 5 years from now, will they be able to move the door? And it's not just pushing, you gotta pull it closed too. So that's why I'm trying to get it out there. Prep the house for automation, and we'll take it from there.
So it's the evolution, right? And so the art of construction, the of is the communication and the education that the indoor-outdoor movement, you know, as window dealers, it's like exploded, right? It wasn't very long ago, it was just kind of this new shiny object. And now it's become kind of the, you know, it's like the front door used to be the big thing. Now it's the big door in the back is the thing. The front door just making me a pivot door that doesn't seal. And on the back, I want all glass. And so we, as window dealers talking through this stuff, we want to really unfold and understand the complexities and talk about the good, bad, and ugly, because I love the analogy PJ uses about a garage door. There's a lot of different types of garage doors, but it's just a standard. If you have a garage door, you better figure out have it operate through a button. Indoor outdoor living a lot of ways just hasn't caught up to that because of the complexities, and I think it's because of the handoff from the manufacturer of how the industry of big doors work. What's your take on that, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think big doors, they have to be incorporated into the design. I mean, we talk about that all the time, I think, and in our world, so much of the time they're secondary. The house has been designed, but people come into the showroom to look at their windows and doors. They see our folding door or our lift and slide door or our automated multi-slide door, and they want that in their house. But then the challenge comes, how do we incorporate it? And that's just been the biggest part for us, is how do you take a house that wasn't designed for it and put it in? And it's the same as what PJ's saying about the automation. It has to be done on the front end.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys talk, and I think about your analogy of the garage doors, and I think about something like the triangle rule in kitchens, where you have to have certain things. It's almost like we need to incorporate the design when it comes to big doors of step 1, 2, and 3 of adding that design. as I see window dealers working with architects, I see a lot of times the evolution of, you talked earlier about the operating types. Like they would just put a bifold door half the time into the design when it may not be the best application for that. It's the same with automation and all the other stuff to catch up, to understand. You have to really detail that out to really what's going to be there, not just throw something in there and we'll figure it out when it happens, like pocketing doors. Talk to me about the challenges when it comes to pocketing doors.
Well, you know, pocketing doors are tricky, and I'm absolutely not the most technical guy out there, but they, you know, you just have to design right for them. You have to have enough room for the door to slide into the pocket, obviously. But, you know, the trick with pocketing doors is you have an exterior wall, and then you have kind of a built interior wall that creates this pocket. And you have to insulate the exterior right, and you have to frame for it correctly, because you have a, you know, an interior, your subfloor runs to a point, and you have to, just everything has to be planned. And then you've got 1,000 different manufacturers that make these products now, and they all have their own different sill details and all different head jam details and all different thicknesses of the jam. And, you know, so it really, from a detailing perspective, it becomes kind of tricky, because you really need to know what you're going to use when you're designing the product, and when you're, you know, drawing the pocket, everybody's are going to be different. You know, all these dimensions are going to be different based on who's supplying this big door.
Yeah, and I love listening to the stories of the window dealer and the owner of an automation company that's saying, how can we solve this stuff? And then I go to places where I'm outside of my norm, like outside of my comfort zone, I should say, in the whole AEC world of the BIM, building informational modeling, in the world of Autodesk with Revit and all these tools. It's like, you can't fake it till you make it, like you used to be able to do with AutoCAD, to where it didn't really have to come together like the walls to the roof. I kind of see that same similarities when it comes to the manufacturer and the critical partners like Summit Automation, to make it designed to where the motor actually has to work with that corner door, or that bifolding window pocketing system, that you have to put that all together. So when you listen to us talk about that stuff, what's your take on that, PJ?
Well, I will tell you that I spend, when I'm not in front of architects and I'm not in front of dealers, I'm in front of OEMs who are manufacturing these door systems, because it's all about integrating our system into it. While I had mentioned that it's door agnostic, it is door agnostic. We can automate bifolds, lift and slides, pocketing, stacking. We can automate all of those different types of configurations, right? But by partnering with the OEMs and helping them understand, and us understanding, what are the intricacies of their individual designs, and we live in the head track of a door. That's where we live. So our thing is, how do we develop a solution that fits inside the head track, where that it allows that door to be manipulated with an automated system. So I spent a lot of time understanding and trying to figure out ways with our engineering team, figure out ways to be able to integrate our systems into their systems, so that, again, it's seamless in the eyes of the consumer at the end of the day.
Awesome. And that's what we're working on here, to listen, to say, how do we make this easier in a complex world? So let's say, understand the head track and just maybe add a little bit more room, that the rough opening is a world in the window dealer world when it comes to the sill. You mentioned earlier about sub-sill conditions and certain things. What are some of the buyer bewares as an owner of a window dealer that you're saying to the Art of Construction, really think about these things when you're thinking about big doors?
Well, I think as long as you have a good team, then you can kind of together work through those things. Because really, they're going to be different in every situation. I mean, they vary based on what the exterior finish material is, and what the interior material is, and what the interior floor height is versus the exterior floor height. And so it varies on almost every job. So you really have to have the right product. You have to have the right automation system, if that's what you're doing. And then you have to have a good team. You need a good builder who's engaged. You need a designer or architect that's engaged with kind of helping detail it out. And I think as long as you have that, and as long as everybody's kind of willing to do the work that it takes to figure it out, I think that's it's totally manageable. But you have to have the right situation for the product in the first place, right? I mean,
I love that. Well, would you do us a favor and maybe let's dig a little deeper and you talk through a success story about a project of maybe a manufacturer, you know, the team that actually worked on a successful project. Could you walk us through a particular one just so we can kind of see that and talk through what the manufacturer is and kind of the was it pocketing corner, and just walk us through one that you've lived the life of a window dealer doing big doors.
Yeah, right. So we the one that comes to mind the most, we got a set of plans for this really unique pool house that the designer was trying to incorporate a corner multi-slide unit. So a huge corner, like one side was probably 24, 26 feet. The other side was only 8 feet of this 90 degree corner, and the both sides pocketed. So when you have these doors, like when it's a finished deal and all these things disappear, you've got this huge opening that kind of looks out across the pool. So that was kind of the plan. In addition to that, the interior floor of the pool house was kind of stone, and it was supposed to seamlessly run out to the exterior floor. So already you got a bunch of challenges. Like how do you fit this thing in? And really with a corner unit like that, I mean, you can't miss. It's got to be perfect. So to top all that off, we were working with Weathershield, and it was one of their first corner units. So we were kind of all excited about, you know, working through these details and figuring out how it was going to work. And, you know, I worked with Jeff Kibler at Weathershield, who's the architectural support guy there. And they do a fantastic job of just kind of working with you through the details, helping make sure the product's going to work. And so from a design side on the front end, we had a lot of work with them to make sure the product was going to meet what we needed. You know, we did kind of a flush track detail. So most of the track was like embedded down into a trough that the builder had to prepare for the door. But then we had a great builder relationship as well. Kyle Hedges and Josh Jones at JH Builders in Charlotte did a great job with kind of diving in. Kyle in particular is really kind of detailed, and one of the guys that can kind of detail a lot of this out himself much better than I can. But, you know, he jumped right in. It was, like I said, it was a unique opportunity. And so he was all in for it. And we spent a lot of time kind of working through those details, making sure that, you know, all the products that he was incorporating into this pool house were going to work in conjunction with the door. So it took a lot of work, but between Kyle and Weathershield and us and the installer, we were able to kind of pull it off. And it, you know, it was nerve wracking on the front end. Anytime you order one of these doors, I mean, they're a lot of money, and so it's a big commitment for a homeowner. It's a big commitment for us and the builder, and especially with kind of a new product, it was kind of a fun deal, but it worked out great. The door's great. It's working well. Everybody's really happy with it. So,
I mean, and it's cool when I put him on the spot and he's saying stuff like the names of the team or the champions that really made that work. And it boiled down to, it sounds like the builder was like the big champion.
Yeah, right,
Really worked and executes that partnership. So thanks for sharing that story, as well as the manufacturer was Weathershield, but did you say Jeff Kibler?
Jeff Kibler, yeah.
Jeff Kibler, like, you have to have those champions tied to it to make it work. Like, I would give credit to Summit to where, you know, PJ, you were like, what are you doing here? I'm not quite sure, but I can tell that I want to be involved because these people are connecting this stuff together. I want to jump and be involved in that. And that's the reality, right? If we were honest about it, you're never going to detail everything out perfectly when you're creating custom solutions. So it's boiling down to that 80-20 rule. Like you talked about, we live in the head track. And if it's three panels or more, think about automation and put that, do the right thing when you're working, whether you're the architect, the designer executing that, or the window dealer. Talk to it, how and when do you bring up automation when they're in your experience center and you're trying to figure out what are the right strategies and what are the right components when selling big doors?
Well, we have a Weathershield multi-slide door automated in our showroom. And so it's really easy kind of with your iPhone app or whatever, or the keypad on the wall to show potential clients how it's going to work. A lot of times the conversation gets to automation when we start talking about the weight. And like PJ mentioned, the number of panels. You know, once you get a certain size and once you get past about three panels, you know, as these products, particularly sliding doors, they kind of interlock and one catches the second, which catches the third, which catches the fourth. And, you know, you get to a certain point and really you got to put some serious weight into opening some of these big doors. You got to really move them. And so it kind of becomes necessary to talk about automation because, you know, with automation, you just click a button and the things move. And they've got so many cool features like, you know, the party mode and the different things where you kind of, it'll catch you walking by and stop, or it won't close all the way if you're still in it, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's a, you know, the weight is a big deal for us with considering automation, definitely.
Awesome. So in closing, Ben, I want to talk through a couple different questions. We always ask, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to grow their business? But I want to ask this kind of in a two-parted way. Overview from what are the first from a window dealership and then next with big doors is how I want to ask this question. So first, as we ask all the time, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to grow their business? But let's set the stage when working with a window dealer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's to find the best partner. And that's kind of how we approach the window and door business. And it's definitely how we approach our clients is we want to be a partner. And I think, you know, when you're, some windows are just easy. I mean, you know, the single openings in houses are just easy. New construction windows are just easy. But there's so much more to it. And there's so much more that a good partner, in this case, like Morrison Millwork brings to the table. I mean, we really view ourselves more as consultants than salespeople. And I think probably one of, if not the best examples of how that relationship works is when it comes to big doors. I mean, there's so much more to it than just, oh, hey, you want a four panel door? Great, cool. It's so-and-so amount of money. I'll get you the quote. I mean, there's just so much more to it that we're relied on to help provide detailing and to help provide, you know, kind of options, because usually the, you know, most of the architects we get lucky enough to deal with want to do it differently than everybody else. And we think that that's cool. We like to be involved in those situations where these guys are kind of pushing the limits and trying to do something unique. And I think we're really good at helping consult and helping kind of be a go-between between the manufacturers, whether it be a window and door company or the automation company, into how we're going to incorporate those things into their designs and their plans. And that, I mean, I think that's the exciting part about what we do, really.
Awesome. And before we send this off and we all go to dinner and we're all talking through the art of construction and collaborating to best understand how we can grow the big door industry, what is that one thing when it comes to big doors you'd raise your hand and say, contractors and affiliates out there, think about this when it comes to CYA and growing your business when it comes to big doors?
I think I've said it, but just plan. Be prepared, take your time, and really be involved in the conversation. It takes a team, and the builder and contractor, they're a huge part of the team. I mean, they have to be engaged.
I would add, integrate Summit into the conversation early on as well. So I field a lot of phone calls where, PJ, we're thinking about automation, and I'll sit there and I'll go over the plans with the architect, with the builder, with the door dealer, and we'll look at the plan and we'll say, what's our strategy, our installation strategy? Where are we going to put where do we think we want to put the motors and things like that? And it's amazing, just a few, you know, a short conversation with some ideas and exchange between the team members. Next thing you know, we've designed an elegant solution that the customer is going to love.
Yeah, and what you're both talking about at the end of the day is that it's communication and preparation, and that if they call and say, we have this door on site that we don't know how to install it, can you come install it? When they call the window dealer, shame on you, contractor. Shame on whoever allowed that to happen. Because you have to, there's certain things when you can figure it out later, and there are certain things that you cannot. And big doors, I'm passionate about that, is one of those you cannot. If you're gonna put the time and money into putting in a big door in the structure, piss poor planning equals piss poor execution, and you can't just say, talk Summit Automation if you didn't plan for it. So that's what this whole series is all about, is planning and executing. And at the end of the day, if you're in the North Carolina area, you gotta find the trusted advisor. And when it comes to big doors, Morrison Millwork and Ben has your back. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Thanks, Devin.
Awesome. So Art of Construction Tribe, I had to bite my lip a little bit there because if you've listened to past episodes, I own a window and door dealer in Colorado. But on this one, man, I'm just totally aligned with everything Ben says when it comes to a team and preparation, and that's what the Art of Construction is all about. And I'm going out on this global megaphone where I'm here in Atlanta. Tonight's the Sunday night football game with the Atlanta Falcons, so we're outside of the conference and there's jerseys going everywhere. So we apologize. There's a lot of background noise, but man, we're moving and shaking here. PJ, we're making it happen. What's some of the top things that Ben, as a trusted advisor that lives big doors day in, day out, that you would recap for our Art of Construction Tribe to take away to help them grow their business?
I think the number one item that Ben highlighted was planning, communication, making sure that the team members, whether you're the contractor, whether you're the architect, the supplier, doesn't matter. It's all about coordination, good communication, and making sure that a good solution is designed and implemented in every new home.
And when the thing about big doors is there's certain components. You talk about you live in the head track. Ben talked about the sill detail, and we talked about a few components around that. It's not the inside the rough opening, it's outside of the rough opening that counts when it comes to pocketing and insulating and leaving space for all these elements to come together, especially in this modern movement where they want the floor-to-ceiling glass. So that's really what we want you to really think about. And I loved your how and when to think about that to make it simple in a complex world where you can truly just say big door open and it works, right?
Yes.
So, well, we look forward to many more conversations. If you like this conversation, go check out the conversation with Chris Guido of Guido Materials, as well as Scott and Corey Brown of Franklin Window and Door. So we're bringing all these perspectives together, and that's what we talk about with the Art of Construction Tribe. It's taking all these resources and putting them together, because two things we don't have enough of, time and money. Every day we're trying to figure that out. And what we don't want to have happen is have this beautiful big door not be done right with automation, right, PJ?
Absolutely. It's a complete travesty when a big door, and we all know doors aren't getting smaller, they're getting bigger. And it would be a travesty to spend such tremendous amount of resources on a big door that eventually turns into a window. That would be bad.
Awesome. Well, we have the global conversations, and with my organization, the Window Dealer Owner Council, we have awesome trust advisors throughout the U.S. So if you need or you're in need for a trusted advisor, wherever you're at, hook us up on the message board, and Summit Automation will guide you. What I love about this series with Summit Automation is you're not just one manufacturer. You are agnostic, working with all of them to make it work, right?
Absolutely.
We're awesome to have you here with us, and can't wait to learn more at the Glass Build Conference here in Atlanta. Thanks for joining us, PJ.
Thanks, Devin, Ben.